The 17th of December is come, but not yet gone.
It's Friday!
It's showtime.
It most assuredly is. Howdy, howdy, howdy. It is the 17th of December, 2021. This is The Horn. Head on .live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza. That is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, all time zones in between in the Great Globe Round. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Friday on the front porch, and we will get to our extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation in about an hour's time. If you would like to be part of it, you're more than welcome to run on by, head on .live, and click the banner at the very top of the page, and it will take you over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we gather together to cuss and discuss the issues of the week. Yep, and it should be a fine time. Our Friday on the front porch conversations almost always are, and I have no reason to think that this one, the last before Christmas, won't be the, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. This is the next to last. This is the penultimate Friday on the front porch before Christmas, because Christmas Eve is actually a Friday on the front porch. And I am hoping, I don't know for sure, but there will probably be a program for Friday on the front porch next week. We shall see how things turn out. I'm getting itchier and itchier and itchier to be home. And so I don't know, maybe might even be on the road that day. Who knows? But nonetheless, we've got a fantastic conversation ahead. I don't want to get ahead of myself, though, because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So a quick apology for yesterday. I should note that, we had Verizon Witless Internet is most, it's been good most of the time here, but yesterday, for some reason or another, it just didn't want to stay connected and couldn't get good. It was creeping along at something like sub dial-up speeds. Yeah, I guess you'll just, technology, internet weather, something like that. But that's why there wasn't a live program yesterday, and my profound apologies. But this program is, no kidding, really and for true, live. And so we send out thanks to our 17th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Gary, Laborman out in New Mexico, thank you so very much. Thanks as well to Reinhard on the Virginia coast, and thank you to Timothy. Thank you to Mark. Thank you so very much. Thanks to Troy for jumping in. And that's how we keep this little independent broadcast effort afloat for nearly two decades. And so our fundraising goal is kind of terrifying. It stands at $1,775 to come up even. That means that's 290 from Thursday, 300 from last week, and all of this week. Yeah, that's what it is, because I didn't include, since there was no program yesterday, I didn't include that in the fundraising goal. So that's where it stands. Fortunately, since it was not responded to on Wednesday's program, Chris in Germany's continuing Fuck Joe Manchin challenge remains on the table. That's $200. That would knock down Thursday and part of Friday. If we could meet that, it would be fantastic. Because with travel about to begin, it would be nice to know that everything was to the good as we prepare to hit the road. By the way, program note, I expect to be on the air Monday afternoon. I certainly hope to be, for more in Monday. And we should have programs while we're in Florence. And then, of course, no Christmas program with Christmas on Saturday. And we'll just have to see about Christmas Eve. Just see how that all plays out. But that all having been said, again, we'll have our Friday, we'll gather together our Friday on the Front Porch crew. And again, just run on by headon.live and click on the button at the top, and it'll carry you right into the group. And be lovely to hear from folks we haven't heard from in a while. So you're welcome to jump in. Now, where do we, the reason I mentioned the 17th of December has come but not yet gone is because of a phenomenon that I've been seeing. It reached all the way to West Virginia. There was at least one school district that was flipped out, and for good reason. I don't say that in a bad way. But school districts from Maine to California. And all points in, and points in between, warned parents that a trend had developed on TikTok of people claiming that there were going to be various and sundry bomb threats and there were threats of gun violence in schools in the United States slated for this day. And so a number of school boards reached out to the parents and said, listen, we just want to let you know, we're aware of this information. There are no credible threats of which we are aware, but we will be increasing law enforcement patrols and be hypervigilant, et cetera. And necessarily this was deeply worrisome to parents and kids, and that was basically the tenor of the CBS News report that I read earlier. Essentially just covering the information as I just laid it out. The thing is, though, there was a buried lead, and I've kind of and some school districts around the country actually closed down today. The high school in Gilroy, California, just shut all the way down. Even though the police there said that none of the threats appeared to be credible, that they were doing it out of an abundance of caution. And today in school in the Houston, Texas area, that school district banned backpacks today. And so the reporting from CBS News was along those lines. Michigan State Police said they were unaware of any credible threats. The L.A. Unified School District, on the other hand, said they perceived it was safe for kids to go to school. But in the wake of what happened in Oxford, Michigan, where a lot of people knew about the threats from young Monster Crumbly, and somehow or another the school board didn't act, parents were notably justified in being ill at ease. But the thing is, the CBS News report buries the lead. You have to get way down into the body of the report before you get to a paragraph that reads, in the Westchester County, New York town of Scarsdale, the school superintendent told parents the posts, quote, are believed to have originated from outside the United States. And that should have been the lead. It originated on TikTok. TikTok, well, I think the talk in TikTok stands for toxic. People can't stay off of it. They can't stay away from it. It's human catnip. It's incredibly popular. And of course, it is a creation. And, you know, this isn't xenophobia on my part. It's just a recognition of the real politic world in which we live. TikTok is entirely a creation of the Chinese government. And the Chinese government is deeply invested in the idea of proving that Western-style democracies have failed. And that their brand of authoritarianism, where the iron fist is contained within a velvet glove, is far to be preferred. And I find it, and so consequently, it is to their benefit to sow dissent and discord, dissension, hatred, fear, division, in the Western style democracies that that they utterly despise. I wish it was possible to get a movement going to just make TikTok go away, get people off of the platform. But, you know, you can't get people off of any social media platforms, and I'm as guilty as the next person. In this era, it is almost impossible to reach an audience or a community without some form of social media. And God knows Facebook is evil. Twitter is evil. Pick one. Evil. Instagram. Evil. It's chock-a-block with hackers and catfishers and you know, various forms of internet scum. But I think TikTok goes deeper. I think TikTok's purpose is actually more nefarious. I mean, Zuckerberg just wants to make oodles of money and doesn't care how they do it. TikTok is actually involved in trying to undermine constitutional governance in the West, and particularly in the United States of America. And because of our fetishized approach to the First Amendment, we're more than happy to let them do it. So it is highly likely that this entire phenomenon that had parents terrified all across the United States of America originated overseas. Might have originated in China. But, you know, it's not just the Chinese who use TikTok for political ends. It could just as easily have been Mother Russia. And that's not intended to sound like I'm some sort of xenophobic paranoid. I'm not. I just recognize how the world works, especially how politics work in the real world. And this is, you know, the internet is the modern cybernetic battlefield, the battlefield of ideas. So, I, you know, at the very least, it is good to know that so far there has, you know, there's not another little monster crumbly with mother and father crumbly out there having given him a brand new, not shiny, but matte black Sig Sauer to terrorize their school with. Ugh. So, it's troubling. It's troubling. Also troubling, of course, the latest news on Omicron. At least the for-profit media have finally gotten to the point where they can pronounce it almost all the time. Winning. The Atlantic had a piece earlier today talking about what to expect from it. And, the Atlantic pointed out that we don't know all there is to know because it's relatively new. But as the Atlantic put it, we know enough to know that we're in trouble. Sarah Zhang reported the article, and the numbers are genuinely scary. It now accounts for 72% of new cases in London. And the numbers are doubling in the UK and in Denmark. The Omicron numbers are doubling every 2 days. And it is not unreasonable to expect that the same thing will happen here. Because, of course, this is the land of the free and the home of the home of the COVIDiot. I mean, all you have to do is check in from time to time over at the subreddit Herman Cain Award. I mean, there are scads of new ones every day. Indiana pastor thought COVID was politicized and didn't trust the vaccine. He died today after a brutal hospital stay. Memes like of Tom Hanks from Forrest Gump. I'm not a smart man, but I know this isn't a good time to fire nurses. The virus is real, the death toll is inaccurate, and the fear is political. And on and on. Remember when a vaccination actually prevented a disease? And the meme, of course, from a picture of Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Why were American tax dollars funding research in a lab in China? Facebook independent fact checkers hard at work. Picture of the Three Stooges. And then, of course, the predictable call for the prayer warriors. My dad is not doing well. COVID is no joke. The next 24 to 48 hours are critical. Would you please pray with me for him? Many of you know my dad. I encourage you to send him an email or a Facebook message. Let him and my mom know how much prayer is coming, but please, no phone calls. He can't take phone calls right now. Probably because he wasn't able to speak. And then, of course, the next post. I'm heartbroken to share this news this morning. My father passed away about 3:30 a.m. this morning. We're so sad as a family, yet we have hope. Hope in knowing where he is. Hope in Jesus, who Dad now sees face to face. Well, if that's the case, you got to wonder if Jesus was up there going, yo, bub, I gave you doctors, I gave you scientists, I gave you vaccines, but you wouldn't get it. I mean, isn't, you know, the church teaches that suicide is a mortal sin and sends you right to hell, right? So at that point in time, isn't this brother, pastor, minister dude a suicide? Sure seems like. But there is a reason to be extremely concerned about Omicron. 2 and 3 and 4 hour long lines for testing in New York already. Numbers running for the roof. I mean, it's creepy as hell. And then of course, there's the question of how bad it's going to be, but it's so transmissible that even saying, oh, it only causes a mild case, it doesn't mean everybody's going to have a mild case. Lauren Ansel Myers, the director of the UT COVID-19 Modeling Consortium, said, if we wait until our hospitals look like they're starting to fill, it'll be too late. And so consequently, it's showing as being 3 to 5 times as transmissible as Delta, at least from the data coming from the UK. And so that means that after 30 days, it's likely to cause 64 times as many new cases as the less transmissible case. and that's a and that's a it's a it's a hell of a thing to say. Well, you know, okay, we're not going to worry about that because it's going to be milder cases. Milder? I don't think this is something you want to. Every evening at the end of the program, I give out the standard litany of precautionary measures, and it's time to double down on them. I mean, the Biden administration, President Biden, reading from the White House today, issued a stark warning, and it was aimed at a particular set of people, the unvaccinated. There is, with only the tiniest number of people who can't get the vaccine for very specific medical reasons. I mean, Jesus, you know, if our buddy Dan Fisher, heart transplant recipient, can get it, can't imagine there's a lot who can't. And Dan's got to just be nervous as a wax cat in the air-conditioned ante room outside hell. It's terrifying. But they made it clear today, both at the CDC and the White House, that the unvaccinated remain the problem. I mean, I'm sorry if it hurts their tender little fifis, but they are the problem. Roby Bachariya, who's an infectious disease physician at Mass Gen, said, we were already headed for a bad winter from Delta. Now, well, hospitals are canceling elective surgeries. It's getting more and more difficult to get care for anything but COVID, you know, because of the unvaccinated, because of the dirty people. Sorry. I mean, I don't know how else to refer to them. The people who just want their bodies to be crawling with the disease. So, you know, when we get home, maybe may very well be caving up for a while. And it, all in the world you can say is be super careful and exercise all your precautions as though your life depends on it, because it does. And of course, on top of that, there was the word most being bandied about in regard to this story is bombshell. A report released today by the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis. And what they have found is that just as we said all along, well, this is confirmation of what we already knew. One of the headings in the report reads, "The Trump administration's persistent political interference in the pandemic response contributed to one of the worst failures of leadership in American history." Yeah, and then there's all the dead people. Over 800,000 now. That's the Civil War, and then a couple of other wars. Dead. They made a finding that the COVID Caligula's maladministration, quote, championed a dangerous herd immunity strategy inside the White House, including by arranging a roundtable event between then-President Trump and a fringe group of herd immunity proponents that would have placed millions of lives at risk. I don't know if it's so much would have as did. Trump White House officials blocked CDC briefings and media appearances and attempted to sidestep CDC in finalizing coronavirus guidance. The select subcommittee also uncovered evidence showing that Trump White House officials neglected the pandemic response to focus on, what else, the 2020 presidential election and promoting the big lie. And it went from the very minute we first found out about it. But we know that too. We know that better than probably most any other program out there, because we talked about it and we dug deep to really get a handle on when they first knew about it. And we know that to be November 2019. I wonder how many other programs have gone into it and dug that out. The clip that sank like a stone from George Stephanopoulos and the Trump Pentagon official. The article in the Jerusalem Post, was it? About the Trump administration warning Israel? In the so-called bombshell report today, this CDC official confirmed she was instructed to destroy evidence of political interference by a Trump administration political appointee. The CDC official told the select subcommittee that she understood this instruction, which seemed unusual and made her uncomfortable, came from then CDC director Robert Redfield. And of course they screwed it up financially too. One trucking company got a $700 million loan approved. Reports have raised serious doubts that the trucking company satisfied the criteria to be deemed critical to national security and questioned its use of funds. It was 95% of the entire program's funding. And then, they also failed to obtain critically necessary personal protective equipment, which led to the crisis in those supplies, with healthcare professionals having to use the same masks for hours, if not days, on end. They're killers. Let's be clear about it. They are killers, these maggots, these Trump supporters, these shock troops of the modern Republican Party. That's all. Just killers. But what's surprising in that, huh? Meanwhile, today in insurrection news, the longest sentence yet has been handed down as of this day for one of the insurrectionists who attacked constitutional governance and the seat thereof on January the 6th. This guy being Florida man, of course, a dude named Robert Scott Palmer. And he vigorously attacked Capitol Police. And today, and maybe it's a step forward, according to NBC News, Robert Scott Palmer got handed 63 months in prison for his multiple assaults on police officers on January the 6th. The NBC story says, prosecutors said he threw a wooden plank at the police and then picked up a fire extinguisher and sprayed its contents at a line of officers, then threw the canister at them after it was empty. A few minutes later, prosecutors said, he picked up the fire extinguisher and threw it at them a second time and assaulted another group of officers with a metal pole, throwing it like a spear. Nonetheless, previously this week, he had gone into court, Palmer had, and said, we were lied to by the sitting president as well as those acting on his behalf. Yeah, it's Trump's fault. Well, it is Trump's fault. But, you know, Trump wasn't there throwing the fire extinguisher, now was he? So U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan wasn't having it. And she said, it has to be made clear that trying to violently overthrow the government, trying to stop the peaceful transition of power, and assaulting law enforcement officers in that effort is going to be met with absolutely certain punishment. You wonder how many... months the Merrick Garland's prosecutors were asking for. Day and a half, maybe? Something like that? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they were serious about this one for a change. But it's at least good to know. I mean, 5 years is... We'll know they're serious when we get up in the double-digit sentences. One hopes. So again, there is a $200 challenge from Chris in Germany, and Ralph's has added $25 to that, so call it $225. That would get us up to $450 if anyone responds. And hopefully people will respond, because this is where it gets real scary when we get to numbers like that. Yeah, I know. I thought the same thing. Leah New York says, I have to. Forgive me. Robert Scott Palmer, obviously not addicted to love. Signed Lee, earworm provider in New York City. Gonna have to. Oh, don't. You did it. You did it. That's it. Yeah. Well, good for you. Randy Radar says, in 5 days, I'll be post 2 weeks, the booster shot, and can finally go out. Well, mask up, gloves up, hand sanitizer with you, the whole everything, because Omicron is coming. And being more, now that is not to say with all the talk about transmissibility, that doesn't mean that the vaccines are ineffective. They are not. The odds just go up a little bit. But if you're vaccinated and boosted, you've got a big leg up on the COVIDiots and the mask holes and the Trump supporters, because you have some degree of protection against it. Tamara says, not to diminish the outside the U.S. influence on social media. I missed that part of the TikTok story, so thanks. But Zuckerberg has made explicit that he wants something beyond piles of money, too, and that is world domination. That old Chinatown quote comes to mind. I'm a huge fan of TikTok, but our collective lack of discernment and the targeting of teens and people who think they're capable of doing their own research is staggering. Not limited to maggots, either. California liberals are shockingly stupid sometimes. True enough. No one's perfect. But if you're taking your news from a social media platform, that's probably a pretty good sign that you're not going to get the best news or the most closely researched or fact-checked. I think that kind of has to go without saying. Oh, dear God, this from our pal Kenda in Missouri. Kenneth and Gloria are at it again. America's richest pastor avoids $150,000 in annual taxes on a $7 million Texas mansion that he said God told him to build. That, according to the Houston Chronicle. His net worth is $750 million. He's got not just one, but several private jets and lots of real property. The jets are at an airport that's named after Kenneth Copeland. And under Texas law, there's not a Texas Republican out there that would ever move to do anything about this, but under Texas law, a parsonage and even a $7 million Texas mansion can be a parsonage are 100% exempt from property taxes. I mean, this thing's huge. Tarrant County, Texas's chief appraiser said, definitely looks out of place and unusual compared to other parsonages we have. Yeah, I'll bet. It was 2015 when Kenneth Copeland said, God told me to build the 18,000-square-foot house for my wife, Gloria. It is part of your prosperity. God apparently told him. Now, it can't be more than 1 acre, so the $7 million mansion sits on a little 1 acre plot. But the thing is, there's 24 other acres surrounding the property. Ooh-wee. And again, our fetishized approach to the First Amendment. Thanks, Kenda. Thanks. And by the way, while I'm saying thank you, big thank you to some dear friends. Particularly, I want to send out thanks to Chris in Germany and to Tracy and Kevin in Massachusetts and to Kat in Ohio and to Jamie in West Virginia, all of whom sent things here with the idea of bringing some Christmas cheer to this little apartment. And it is so touching, and it's so lovely. I can't wait. Chris sent Christmas baked goods from Germany. I've already gotten into them. Oh my heavenly days! There's the Stollen and the macaroons. Oh, so good. And Kevin and Tracy sent along a bottle of something I have never seen before: Italian hot sauce. And yes, it's as good as it sounds. I mean, I'm kind of notorious for drinking hot sauce straight from the bottle. So when I saw it, I had to open it up and just shake out a little bit on my finger. And like, ooh, yeah, good stuff. And Cat in Ohio sent along a card fronting a go out and get yourself a couple of packages of Kaneka. Thank you, Cat. And then Jamie sent along some mugs and some hot chocolate. They're like spheres, and you put them in hot milk and they turn into hot chocolate, and some cookies, and just lovely stuff. And I just particularly wanted to make sure that I did not fail to mention that, because it was it brightened our day so very much, and was absolutely lovely. So thank you. But having said that, of course, coffee breaks over, back on our heads, right? Sure. Just in terms of having a little bit of audio for the program, even now, this far along, there's still a kind of a wow moment every now and then when Nitwit Nero opens his mouth and begins to burble. It's the Christmas season, so I guess if you're the son of a Klansman, you're gonna I don't know, engage in a little old-fashioned anti-Semitism. Jake Tapper, who's Jewish, did a reader on it at CNN. And it came from an interview that Nitwit Nero did with the Israeli journalist Barak Ravid. And he, like I said, even for him, was a little bit on the stunning side. I mean, you'd think, then again, maybe he's not real happy with his son-in-law Jared right now. Nitwit Nero said,
"It used to be that Israel had absolute power over Congress, and today I think that's the exact opposite. I think Obama and Biden did that. Yet in the election, they still get a lot of votes from the Jewish people, which tells you that the Jewish people in the United States either don't like Israel or don't care about Israel. I mean, you look at the New York Times. The New York Times hates Israel, hates them, and they're Jewish people that run the New York Times."
Really? Yeah. Why not just go on and talk about the Jewish bankers while you're at it there? Huh? Right. God.
Jewish people who live in the United States don't love Israel enough.
Right. Sure. Oh, well. Are we surprised? Going back to the COVID-denying preacher, Scott in San Diego said there'd be no way to verify it, but I'd start going to church again if this happened. The poor sap shows up in heaven, and Jesus himself is wearing a mask with the words, "You imbecile," on it. And as far as a little bit more detail on Omicron, Dave number 11 with a note, 10% of the players in the NBA have the Rona going into tonight. 97% vaccination rate, but mostly Johnson & Johnson. And there was news out about Johnson & Johnson yesterday. The CDC giving preference to the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna over Johnson & Johnson over continuing concerns over the blood clot issue with that vaccine. And Dave number 11 adds, Omicron replicates 75 times faster in the body than Delta. It's not promising. Oh, and thank you so much. Thank you, Kim. We are down to 175 to go on Chris and Germany's challenge. Ralph's has been met. So if we can get another 175, that means the money is doubled. And we will see where it goes from there. But that would get us down from 1775 down to 1325. And we'd at least be hard at work on finishing last week's fundraising. Well, thank you. Thank you. Bernadette with a note. Subject line, TikTok. I'm so glad you led with this story. I saw this news late yesterday evening, and having a sister who is a high school teacher, I immediately fired off a text to her. She works for Clark County School District, the largest school district in Nevada. She called this morning to tell me her district did not think the threat was credible, but is working with their school police and law enforcement to monitor the situation. Here's my take. The rumored TikTok threat, being credible or not, is not the point. The fear baiting is. So true, Bernadette. Our society is constantly surging from one issue to the next without ever really solving any of them. These social platforms need to be held responsible for the damage they're doing to our society, to our government, and to our democracy. No other companies are allowed to sell products knowing hurting or damaging the American public the way these social platforms are doing. Fear is their product now, and whether credible or not, it works. Resources are consumed by every level of government just to combat these fearful threats. Laws need to be written to hold these platforms exclusively responsible for the fear baiting on their sites. Maybe they'd be more socially conscious, although I doubt it. Well, it's the truth. And a lot of people have made the comparison between social media platforms and, of all places, the tobacco industry. Because, oddly enough, the comparison is apt. You're talking about entities, vast, wealthy corporate entities that already have the research in hand that shows the harm they're doing, and yet they continue to do the harm. I mean, we broke up Ma Bell, for God's sakes. Maybe if Instagram and Facebook were broken up, perhaps. Maybe. Maybe a discussion for another day. But thank you for the note, Bernadette. I appreciate it. And thank you for the NBA update, Dave number 11. It's very intense, up close and personal competition, basketball. If it's 10% now, well, but then again, the J&J, it would be Well, and you know, there's another question that the Omicron variant opens up, and that is, if it is true, as I saw earlier in the week, that we do in fact now have enough vaccine on hand to vaccinate the entire world, why aren't we? I mean, obviously we can't go in and the Chinese will do what the Chinese do, and Mother Russia will do what Mother Russia does. But in the global south, it seems like it would be the smartest thing in the world to get serious about vaccinations. Maybe we will sometime. I don't know. I had a couple of other stories tucked away here, and I need to find them. And of course, like I said, since Kim did jump in that way, fuck Joe Manchin. There's a fuck Joe Manchin with every contribution this evening, and so thank you for that. Brother Deacon Asa says, all those platforms are fucking evil. TikTok is a filthy cesspool. That's why I choose to hang out on Truth Social. God, you never quit, do you? Truth Social. Thank you, Jack in Shreveport. We are now down to $125 to go on Chris's Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. And hey, Jack, fuck Joe Manchin. Thank you for that. Where did that thing go? I don't know right now. And as far as the idea of Omicron being milder, which just seems like entirely the wrong word, the wrong comparative. Steve in New York says, I don't know if you've seen this. It's the first time I've seen evidence that Omicron is no less severe than Delta and more likely to reinfect. I hadn't seen the no milder. There was hope it was. 5 times likelier to cause reinfections. And this is coming from Reuters, a legitimate news outlet. Results of a study by Imperial College London, based on UK Health Security Agency and National Health Service data on people who tested positive for COVID-19 in a PCR test in England between November 29th and December 11th. The testing results show that it is no milder than Delta. And the risk of reinfection is 5 times higher. We find no evidence for both risk of hospitalization, attendance, and symptom status of Omicron having different severity than from Delta. Hospitalization data remains limited. Controlling for vaccine status, age, sex, ethnicity, asymptomatic status, region, and specimen date, Omicron was associated with a 5.4-fold higher risk of reinfection compared with Delta. And for all those people who thought they were going to get herd immunity, 19%. 19% protection from previously having had COVID. The researchers found a significantly increased risk of developing a symptomatic Omicron case compared to Delta. for those who were 2 or more weeks past their second vaccine dose and 2 or more weeks past their booster dose. The study involved AstraZeneca and Pfizer vaccines. So the way it worked out in this study, which has not yet been peer-reviewed, is that vaccine effectiveness for Omicron was between 0 and 20% after 2 doses and between 55 and 80% after a booster. The study, the leader, Professor Neil Ferguson, writing for Imperial College London, said, "This study provides further evidence of the very substantial extent to which Omicron can evade prior immunity given by both infection or vaccination. This level of immune evasion means that Omicron poses a major imminent threat to public health." But then there's Dr. Clive Dix. Clive. He said, "The conclusions made are based on making assumptions about Omicron where we still don't have sufficient data. For example, we have no data on the cellular immune response, which is now probably driving effectiveness of vaccines. This is a crucial missing assumption in the modeling." And he went on and said, "There's a huge amount of uncertainty in these modeled estimates, and we can only be confident about the impact of boosters against Omicron when we have another month of real-world data on hospitalization, ICU numbers, and deaths." Speaking of which, however, I stumbled because... By virtue of the things that I have to do in terms of my rehabilitation, I get to spend a considerable amount of time watching whatever catches my fancy on my telescreen. And there is a new series that has premiered on HBO, HBO Max, called Station 11. I will never understand the timing of something like this. Or the geniuses who said, "Yeah, this is a great idea." Now, I'm 3 or 4 episodes in, and I read a couple of reviews, and it's like, and it's even funny sometimes. Station 11 is about what happens. It's an apocalyptic movie, series. And it's predicated on a worldwide flu pandemic breaking loose that is so virulent that it knocks out most of the population of the of not just the United States, but of the world. And so the survivors have to pick up the pieces in the interim, or in the aftermath. They did a good job making it real apocalyptic. And I just, when I think about how, when I think about the damage that the film, and I think it did do damage, the film Omega Man, followed by the reboot known as I Am Legend, did apparently on the American psyche. You remember the premise of that. It begins with the announcement that a vaccine has been discovered for cancer. And then it kills everybody on Earth. Well, even though those two, it's been a while since they were released, apparently they were leveraged by anti-vax people. To discourage others from getting the vaccines. And then we have the proliferation of stupidity like, vaccines turn you magnetic. Vaccines make you not fully human anymore. Right. And we've seen the terrifying effects of all of that. Ugh. Sorry about the little noises, but, damn. And so now we've got this. Storyline's actually pretty good. Acting is fantastic. It is visually well-conceived. It's a little bit frustrating insofar as it bounces back and forth between like a month prior to the pandemic, to 5 days before, to 20 years after. And that makes things a little bit tough to get your head around. I'm not saying don't watch it. That would be a stupid thing for me to say anyway. I am watching it. But I was taken by the fact that that some critic found it humorous. And 4 episodes in, and I haven't found anything to laugh at. So, you know, there we are. No worries, Randy. No worries. It's an easy mistake to make. Let's see. Oh, and adding to the challenges, we got $125 remaining on Chris's. I just heard from Billable Rick, the Get Your Damn COVID Booster Challenge. Today, my son and I went into a walk-in Vons pharmacy, and we got our COVID-19 Moderna booster shots. So far, no side effects after about 4 hours. We had appointments scheduled at a different pharmacy for December 21st, but didn't want to wait any longer to get our shots because of the recent explosion of the Omicron variant. Cases doubling within 2 days? Damn. That's worse than the Enterprise's trouble with triples. It took phone calls to a couple of other pharmacies to find one that finally offered a walk-in booster option. So, Horn listeners, I implore you to get boosted and to find a walk-in pharmacy that offers COVID boosters if you already have a future scheduled appointment. To commemorate Brian and I receiving our COVID booster today, I'd like to make a $25 Get Your Damn COVID Booster Challenge, which I'll double to 50 when met. You can apply the initial 25 to any other extant challenge, such as that from Chris in Germany. Merry Christmas to you and Annette, and congrats on your impending return to West Virginia. Thank you, Billable. Thank you so very much. So, well, things being as they are, and the whole being as deep as it is, let's just add that challenge on. And so we'll say that there's 125 remaining on Chris's, and then it's a 2-for-1 challenge, or a 3-for-1, actually. You get your money tripled, not doubled, on the $25 coming from Billable Rick. And that would make another considerable dent, $75 dent in the hole that we have to fill in that is deep and, like I said, kind of terrifying right now. So let's, having filibustered my way through the program, let's run over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good.
Robin.
Good.
I'd be out in the man cave today, but the man cave computer took a shit.
Oh no!
It's in the shop.
Okay, so it wasn't.
It's getting repaired, and it'll be all like new tomorrow.
Oh, excellent! Good. Far better repairable than just, you know, paperweight.
Well, they're putting a new drive in it.
Oh, the hard drive crashed?
Yeah, basically, I guess. I mean, I had hooked to that big TV in the living room, and the screen just went all scrambled on it.
Yeah,
and then I had to unplug it, and then I plugged it back in again and tried to start, and it just couldn't. Nope, ain't starting.
Yeah, when I get back home, I've got to replace the power supply in one of our laptops. Thing's not even 3 years old, and the power supply took a crap. So,
I took advantage of the situation. I hauled all my broken down computers in there.
Just fix them all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the Judy's old laptop and the drives out of that. And then the first original man cave computer drives out of that. So I'm getting all three of them fixed.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, and let me thank Jeremy real quick. Jeremy jumped in on Billable Rick's challenge. So, and by the way, we'll throw in a hearty fuck Joe Manchin for that too. So thank you, Jeremy. And $125 to go on Chris's challenge. You were going to say, Sparky, sorry.
Yeah, I added to my ego line of tools this week too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I've discovered that on our Amazon, we had all these points. So I started applying the stuff I could buy and stuff. And then I used up the rest of the points on an ego chainsaw.
Oh, how cool. I want one of those real bad.
And I only paid $32 for it.
Oh, get out of town. That'll be nice.
I am out of town.
Yeah, I know. Stop that. You got any plans for what gets sawed first?
It's already happened.
What was it?
Redwood tree limb.
How'd it handle?
Fell down the other day. Oh, it sliced through it like butter.
Now, do you still have to oil it though, like bar oil and?
Oh yeah, you gotta put the bar oil in it before you use it. And I've got plenty of bar oil. I have two corded electric chainsaws, and I hate the son of a guns.
Did it come with a battery?
No, I already have two batteries.
But I mean,
got it without a battery.
Oh, okay.
You can only be running one tool at one time, Bob. So you only need one battery and one in the charger.
You don't have a Ferg, so yeah, we got to have battery. No. We got to have batteries for the push mower.
Grady can't run any of those tools.
Truth.
But I will have my minion over Christmas vacation come by.
Yeah, I was gonna say because you know your minion's growing right up, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 16 years old now. He doesn't have his driver's license yet, but he's driving. He's got his learner's permit. He drives mom and dad everywhere.
Aww.
So they don't go nowhere. He doesn't drive. So he's getting to be a good pickup truck driver, and both his mom and dad have trucks.
Excellent. So he's going to be coming by during the holiday?
Yeah, his mom just works less than about a mile away from me. So she just brings him over here and drops him. Or he'll drive himself down here in his mom's truck. She'll be sitting in the passenger seat, and then when they get here, they'll swap out. She'll go to work and pick him up about 4:30 in the afternoon. But he's also got a job, too.
Sounds like a hard-working young man.
I mean, he's working at Taco Bell for $15 an hour, but he can only work 20 hours a week because he's only 16. State law, I guess.
Yeah, I got limitations on the hours.
So I don't know what day he's coming. He's just coming after this week. Today's the last day they were in school.
Well, he sounds like a real good young kid.
Oh, he is. Everybody likes him. I was talking to a neighbor that moved into their house. It was a friend of theirs, and he says, "What?" He says, "I love that kid." I says, "I'm sure you'll come over and visit when he's here next week." Because he always has to run across the street and see Troy.
Nice.
And he likes to say hi to my other neighbor, too, because he used to live here.
Well, who all do we have? Let's see, who all do we have in the group this evening?
I think it's Gary and...
I see Kevin. We haven't heard from Kevin in Colorado Springs in a while.
Yeah, I had to meet him earlier when he jumped in. He started talking.
No, that wasn't me.
It sounded like you, and I muted you.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
Managing. Things are things got a little more tender after the last doctor's appointment, so I'm kind of coping with that. But apart from that, you know, can't complain.
Well, from what I heard, you're anxious to get back home.
Oh, I'm itching for it. I want to get home. I want to get back home so bad.
Well, I hope you make it as soon as you can.
It'll probably, you know, all things being equal, it'll probably take me a couple of days to do it. You know, it's usually a 1-day trip, but I don't think I'm going to try to push it that hard.
No, there's no reason to push it. Take it easy and go at your own pace and enjoy the ride back home.
Exactly. So, is everything going fairly well for you out there?
Yeah, everything's going. We had the windstorm the other day.
Yeah, it had to be creepy.
It was. The new apartments I'm at, they don't place directly east and west, so the winds didn't affect us too much here. But the part of the city I'm in had a lot of wind damage, trees down. In fact, a block away, a tree went down and hit a house just a block away from where I'm at. We had up to 100-mile-an-hour winds here. So we had a guy killed in Lahana. City worker was cleaning up debris during the storm for some reason, and a tree fell on him.
Oh, dear God.
So, and of course, we had the usual semis trying to drive on the interstate in the middle of a hurricane who got blown over because they were trying to drive on the interstate in the middle of a hurricane. And we had about 15 of those happen. So it was pretty hairy there for about 5 hours.
Well, I know, it blew hellbent for leather all the way across the country.
Yes, it did. So, and you really can't, with any uncertainty anymore, say that there's no such thing as climate change or global warming. How long has it been since you've seen a storm like this go from the West Coast to the East Coast, virtually the whole way with winds like we had here in Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
It caused tornadoes and
winds. They're bad here in California, too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And
and we got dumped on with the rain.
In December.
Brutal stuff.
Well, of course, your senator up there in West Virginia still isn't going to do the Build Back Better bill because.
Because it might benefit somebody whose name isn't Manchin.
Exactly.
Hey, stand by just a second. I'm changing positions. I'll be right back.
Anybody else want to jump in?
Good afternoon, everyone.
How you doing, Ben?
Not too bad. Can't believe next Friday is already Christmas Eve.
I can believe it's just another day.
Oh, but gosh, this year has gone by so fast.
Yeah, the older you get, the faster they go. Didn't anybody ever tell you that?
No, I was told in school that the older you get, the slower they go.
No.
What's the weather like out there than out in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it was calm and sunny. Just lovely.
So it was 55 here yesterday. It's 45 today. And tomorrow I'm getting 6 inches of snow. So to say there's no climate change doesn't quite add up, literally.
Yeah, it, It was 45 degrees here today and gray skies all day long.
I'm up for a few sunny days. I had to go out and drive in that nasty weather we had. This rain was coming down in sheets, I swear. You couldn't get it off your windshield fast enough.
I wish we could get enough states in the union to agree to get rid of daylight savings time. If we could get over 2/3 of the country to agree to it, it would become a thing where all states would not have to recognize it anymore. And I think we'd be better off.
Well, there's one state that doesn't recognize it.
Yeah. I know Arizona don't.
Yeah. They can do it. Everybody can do it.
Are you talking about daylight time?
Yeah. Daylight savings time.
Indiana, doesn't Indiana have some weird ass thing where part of the state does it?
Yeah, it's split time zone.
Yeah, I live 2 miles from Indiana, and it goes by cities around here in Indiana. The one next to us keeps with Illinois, and the one south of it keeps with the eastern time zone, so it's kind of strange.
It's crazy. How do they do business? You know?
You got to learn to whichever city you go to, whatever time it is. Jeez.
Guess you got to set your watch or your phone for two different time zones if you live in Indiana.
I wonder if Bob fell down.
Not at all.
Oh.
Yeah, Robin.
Robin.
Yeah.
Do you have a donut?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Oh. Because I'm getting you something for Christmas, but you may not be able to use it for a while unless you can modify it with a donut.
Yeah, I've got, my donut is like, I've nicknamed it American Express.
You don't leave home without
it? I don't leave home without it.
You're not going to give him a toilet metaphor, are you, Scott?
No, I'm going to get him a unicycle, but it'll be a while before you can ride that puppy.
Him. Oops. Yeah.
I posted something in the chat. That's why I said toilet meadow.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the chia seed.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You didn't mention it, Robin, but I'm going to share the photo with the family.
Oh, I saw.
Wait a minute, let me find it, and I'll put
it in. It's tough to do visuals on radio.
Yeah, I know. Where the hell is it? I just...
Sparky, you want to tell
them? Oh, there it is.
You want to tell them the story about that earlier this week?
The toilet meadow?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you credit for it. You can tell it. You're the one that came up with it.
So I seen this on Facebook Marketplace, and I showed it to the guys on Discord. And Lone Wolf goes, well, as long as I can water it with my bidet. And then I read in the fine print on it that it's a gag gift. What it is that's a box that you buy. And then you put the actual Christmas present, what you're getting somebody in the box. And then when they open it, they think, what the hell is this you got me? And then they open the box and they find something else. I'm like, wait a minute. This doesn't look like a toilet seat with grass on it.
Oh, and by the way, I need to send out a thank you. Thank you very kindly to our dear friend Jessica up in Minnesota. She recently dealt with those same howling winds that Kevin was talking about a moment ago. We are now down to $110 on Chris's challenge. Thank you very kindly, Jessica, who also said, yeah, Omega Man,
Let Us Not Speak of the Omega Man. It's a movie that adds to the narrative of people with albinism being evil, one of many TV and films that portray us negatively. Yeah, anybody that's... Yeah, don't be different in any way, shape, form, or fashion. In any way, shape, form, or fashion, or Hollywood will make a villain out of you.
Now, does Omega Man have, is Charlton Heston in Omega Man? Or am I confusing that with another dystopian?
Okay.
He was in that one with the last film that Edward G. Robinson did, the where Soylent Green,
yeah.
It's people.
Yeah, it's Charlton Heston, you're right. Yeah. Charlton Heston and Anthony Zerbe.
Oh, Zerbe was great. Or maybe he still is great. I know Chuck has gone to that big gun shop in the sky. Maybe.
Hey, does anybody in here have Netflix?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I do.
I have a movie recommendation for you guys if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah?
Bruised.
Bruised?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've heard about that.
Halle Berry is in it, and it's a story about her where she becomes a woman MMA fighter, and it's really good. It is a really good movie. One of the best movies I've seen her in a long time.
Well, I will put it on the list. Because I got plenty of room on the list right now. Oh, hey, just one thing to mention. We've talked about this story in the past, but I guess it's an annual event. It's time to wonder once again at the majesty of silly humanity. They had their camel beauty contest again in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And 43 contestants, and it happens every time, 43 contestants were booted for cheating because, among other things, they gave Botox injections to the camels to give them prettier lips. Yeah, I know.
Now, this isn't a Snopes deal, is it?
No, this is the real thing. It goes on for 40 days, the King Abdul Aziz Camel Festival. It's held northeast of the capital of Riyadh. And get this, the breeders compete for more than $66 million in prize money, so I guess they've got an incentive to cheat.
It's all that goddamn oil money.
They inject silicone in the camels and filler and Botox, and they use rubber bands to inflate body parts. And this year there were 147 cases of camel tampering.
Is there a swimsuit competition? I mean,
it gives a whole... You know, and the hillbillies get a hard time. This gives a whole new meaning to sure do got a pretty mouth.
See, over there, Wednesday has a whole new meaning of hump day.
Ah.
I see the before and after pictures of the Botox lips on these camels. Now, are these one hump or two hump camels?
No, these are single humpers.
So far as we know, I mean, if they're tampering with them,
Because the dual humpers, I think those are what, Bactrians?
Which one are the dromedary? The ones that eat the pigs?
The one humpers.
Okay.
Didn't Bob Dole, wasn't he an expert at inflating body parts?
I also have to guess that when you're over there during this festival, if you see a pregnant camel, you say, look at that mother humper.
That reminds me of a joke. Are you all ready for a joke?
Yeah, please.
It took part in that part of the world many, many years ago. There was this fellow there in Arabia who was known far and wide for telling the time with great accuracy without supposedly looking at any timepiece. And he would sit behind his camel and people would try to stump him, and he'd always give them the right time. And finally, he fessed up as to how he was doing it. Seated where he was behind the male camel is little dangly parts. You would just move them to one side, and far off in the distance was a clock tower. So that's that. I'm probably telling it wrong, but.
No, you're telling it right. It's an old joke.
But the other joke is that must hurt when you do that. No, not if you keep your thumbs from between the rocks. That's actually a better joke.
That was also a Cheech and Chong joke. But it wasn't a camel, it was a donkey. In the Cheech and Chong version of that joke.
Oh, by the way, Jack and Shreveport said with the toilet meadow having been raised as an issue, Jack says, all you fuckers in that conversation are in trouble with me because at least one of you should have brought up Shiny Heiny. I'm very disappointed in all of you.
Well, I just assumed it was from the people who brought you Shiny Heiny, the brand new gizmo of the modern world, toilet meadow. Jesus.
Comes with a little tiny battery-operated lawnmower.
It's like those, you're old enough to remember this, department stores like G.C. Murphy and Woolworth, anyone that had a pet department, you could buy these little turtles. And they wouldn't just sell you the turtle, you had to buy the turtle paradise, which was this plastic configuration with a lower level that had a place to put water for the turtle to get a drink or swim or whatever turtles do. And the upper level was like a beach. It had little plastic rocks and little plastic palm tree. And I wish I still had my turtle and his little beachfront.
And the little turtles were disease bearers, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. Salmonella and God knows what else. That's probably where COVID came from or whatever. the guy with the jet out in Texas, what's his name? The preacher, the crazy preacher. Well, now they got to narrow it down.
Oh, Copeland. Copeland.
Copeland, yes. He's.
Hey, Robin, did you get a piece of those hurricane force winds that we got here on Wednesday in Kansas?
I think it swung further north. When the tornadoes blew through, it got a little blowy down here, but nothing substantial, which is surprising for this area.
Well, I'll tell you, now I know what a hurricane feels like. And, man, there was times Wednesday I thought the house was going to get blown off the foundation. It was rocking so bad.
Well, I saw a note from Carol Baker said that it was just absolutely ridiculous. She's out in the Kansas City area.
Yeah, we had a lot of down tree limbs. And there was at one time there was 800,000 customers without power. It was crazy. And National Weather Service says we're going to start seeing more and more Decembers like this.
Oh, I think climate change makes that a certainty. This is the new normal, and we may wind up looking back at this and saying, oh, you know, I remember when the winds were only 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, they're saying now that they think that winter is going to get shorter and shorter, and it's going to start later and later.
Well, I'm just hoping that I can, and this is just me being selfish, I'm hoping I can get home before, you know, so that I'm not having to drive in any freaking blizzards.
Yeah. Snow is okay, but when it's a blizzard, it's a different story.
Well, I just generally don't like long highway driving.
Yeah. Depends on who you're talking to.
How do you mean? Oh, well, yes, okay.
Some of us like blizzard, thank you very much.
Yeah, I know. Not everybody has a freaking snow machine. I always thought they were snowmobiles until Godzilla from Wasilla came along. You know, tied in his snow machine.
It's more like a jet engine with a track on it.
So have you been able to get out in the yard with it yet?
I played with a little actually, before December hit, we had 3 inches of snow and it stayed for 2 weeks, and then it warmed up, and like I was telling the guys here, I was wrong, it was actually 68 here yesterday. Yeah, 68. Today it's 45, and tomorrow we're supposed to get like 5 to 6 inches back, and it's supposed to stay through Christmas, thank God.
So far, I mean, let's see, let me look at the forecast for next week up at home. Yeah, just people, a lot of people, a bunch of people sitting around rapping about the weather. Near-term forecast for next week, highs in the 50s, mid-40s to 50s, lows as low as 25.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It got down to 40 the other night here. And I'm not used to that. I know that's absurdly warm compared to what it is in the Midwest and the North and the East Coast and stuff. But I'm telling you, when you're not used to it, it's pretty... and then that rain that came through, that big storm, that was the first big storm that we got, and that's the one that moved eastward and caused all that trouble, you know, later on, you know, with the tornado swarms. But, I mean, it was... It was like buckets of rain coming down until the front passed through, and I don't know. Oh, Robin, you remember the other day I told you that the technician from AT&T was going to come
put
in my super fast internet? Well, I didn't realize what needed to be done. This is some sort of new technology, this AT&T fiber. I don't know if it helps promote colon health besides give you crystal clear pictures and fast internet speeds. But anyway, he came, and I put all the crap in the bedroom, thinking, well, he won't want to do anything in the bedroom, okay, because the TV's in the living room. So he gets here, and he says, well, actually, he walked around behind my apartment unit and said, well, here's where I got to put the thing, and I'll just run the line and drop it down, but I've got a drill. So we looked in the bedroom, and he said, that corner right there under the window is where I'm going to drill in. But all my crap is piled up in that corner. So I've rescheduled it for Tuesday. Hopefully between then and now I'll be able to shift some of this stuff around, and everything will be tickety-boo, as they say. But I was all ready. I mean, I was up bright and early drinking my coffee and... Did I tell you about that coffee that Steve in New York sent?
Yeah, yeah, wonderful stuff. Zabar's?
Oh, God, that. Zabar's, is it?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I've tried 3 of the 4 flavors that he sent. Royale blend, Kona style, mocha, and the one I haven't tried is holiday blend, because I think it has peppermint in it, and I'm not a big fan. But they wouldn't put peppermint in coffee for Christmas. Would it be like, what would be a holiday thing that they could do to coffee for the Christmas time? I'm guessing it's, well, maybe it's not peppermint. I'll try it tomorrow morning.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, that's probably what
they
do.
Latte. Right?
Yeah, like cafe au lait or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but God damn, that's good coffee. He spoiled me. Now I'm going to have to have all my coffee needs met, courtesy of this place in New York. And God, he sent the link to the website. I could gain 4,000 pounds. Go to their website, Robin, when you get a chance.
I've seen it.
Oh, my God. He'll waddle out of that place, burdened down with shopping bags full of those things.
No, there's some yummy stuff there.
Speaking of Steve's, is Steve in Georgia stand here?
Didn't see him this evening yet.
Oh, that's too bad. If he comes in, give me a heads up, because you talk about, I don't have a car anymore, but back when I used to drive, especially if I would drive late at night, long distance and stuff, there was a program that came out of Louisville and Salt Lake City back in the 70s. And it was the goofiest, corniest program. But if you were tired of music, it wasn't Art Bell. It was just people talking over the back fence from all over the country. the Nightcap show. And Steve was apparently also a member of Nightcap. And they had their own song. I'll have to send you that and you can play it.
I seen Steve from Georgistan in the chat earlier. He was in there for a few minutes and then he left, so something must have came up. He'll probably be back later.
Okay. Well, anyway, when he calls in, get him to sing the Nightcap song. I'll bet you he can sing it from memory. Herb Jepko was the guy's name, and he did it out of KSL, and it was heard also on WHAS Louisville, those two of the biggest 50,000-watt clear channel stations in the country, and it had national reach. And then they fired him, and it was on Mutual for a while, back when Mutual was owned by Amway, of all things. And then Larry King took that time slot.
Beep-doop.
Beep-doop.
Can everybody believe next Friday's Christmas Eve?
I don't believe it. I don't know where this year went. It's been a hellacious year, but I'm glad to see it go. Almost as glad as seeing 2020 go. That was a fucking nightmare on stilts.
I got two breaking news stories if you want to hear them.
Go ahead. Do it.
January 6th, committee investigators believe November 4th text pushing strategy to undermine election came from Rick Perry.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. That one message to Mark Meadows was from Rick Perry's phone.
And the other one is they postponed deposition of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And they're all pleading the fifth. Every last one of those fuckers.
Well, did you see that thing on, it was on MSNBC this afternoon? Mitch McConnell was being interviewed by somewhere, and he's kind of changed his tune about January 6th.
Well, I'm watching the proceedings very closely.
Yeah, you know, with interest.
With interest. Compounded daily.
Yes, member FSLIC. But the thing is, he's almost required to do it, Robin, because he knows which side of the bread the butter is on. He knows that in order to be politically viable, you can play in the playground called stupid for a while, but then you've got to rein yourself in.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help him that these crazy bastards broke bad on the fucking Capitol.
Well, but some of them are members of his own caucus. I mean, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. Josh Storm the Bastille Hawley, constitutional scholar Mike Lee, and of course, Tommy the Tuber, the junior senator from Alabama. They were all in on it.
Each day, it's almost like Watergate. It's different than the Watergate hearings, but it was like, ever since that story broke, and then when the Watergate Committee, the Senate Watergate Committee, had their hearings televised, usually on all three channels in the daytime, it was like a Chinese water torture. Every day brought some new outrage.
Well, but I think there's one little difference here, because the January 6th Commission has given themselves a self-imposed deadline of this summer, because they know that if they do not finish their work before the midterms, it might all just disappear.
Yeah, but a lot of shit can come out between now and summer.
Well, it depends on some of it depends on how quickly the court system decides to go.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you got to go from the district court to the appellate court, you got to go from the circuit court of appeals to the Supreme Court. And shit, they might, you know, they might do what they've done oh so many times, this gang of judicial punks, and say, well, you know, we will consider it in the fall term of 2027.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin, do you got a good nickname for the senator from my state that we did not elect? I think his election was fraud too. Mr. Roger Marshall, who was also involved with January 6th.
I haven't gotten around to him. No, Josh Hawley captured my attention there.
Yeah, Roger Marshall's just as guilty as Josh Hawley is.
Was there probably so, but he didn't have a picture of him waving people on like they were storming the Bastille. Oh, by the way, going back to the idea of peppermint coffee, Arnold lets us know, I just suffered from peppermint coffee. So that sounds potentially gross.
Well, just so it's not pumpkin spice, I will not buy or consume anything unless it's pumpkin. If it's pumpkin pie, pumpkin spice flavor is appropriate. I'm surprised they haven't come out with fucking Cheerios or, you know, Lucky Charms or Sugar Smacks that taste like... It's like every October, the big coffee chains and even some of the smaller ones, you know, come in and I try our pumpkin. God did not intend pumpkin spice to be infused into every goddamn consumable thing.
Well, it's not even, I mean, it's such a little fraud. We've been over this. It's not pumpkin spice. It's not exclusively used on pumpkins. There's no pumpkin involved.
Well, it's all chemically
done. It's allspice and cinnamon and nutmeg and ginger and clove. That's all.
Well, they need to stop it. Would you tell them, Robin?
Oh, yeah, let me get right on that.
I'm a purist when it comes to that.
You know, when you consider how ubiquitous it is, there's probably pumpkin spice lube out there, or pumpkin spice edible panties. I mean, ugh.
Steve from New York has his hand up under a new name.
What's that?
Oh, Steve from Georgistan. Hi, Steve.
No, Steve from New York.
Oh, Steve just joined, the other Steve. But hi, Steve in New York.
I bet he's Blessed Advent.
Yep.
That's a stripper, isn't it? She's got this act with a reed.
No, the stripper is Christmas is Coming.
Oh.
Or pumpkin spice.
Yeah, she's the Spice Girl who didn't make the cut.
Felicity Split. It's my favorite stripper name.
Oh, hey, thank you very kindly to our dear friend Mark down in Florida. We are now down below the $100 mark on Chris's challenge. We are at $85. Thank you, Mark. Thanks so very much. That's tremendously helpful. And by the way, he notes, Anthony Zerbe lives at the age of 85. And many happy returns. Oh, and Arnold is on a spice tear. So he hates he hates peppermint coffee, he says, and completely fuck nutmeg. I like nutmeg.
Fuck Nutmeg, that's the name of the movie.
Well, that's the name that we gave to John McCain's daughter. Did you know she was John McCain's daughter? Remember, she was our little Nutmeg?
Yes.
Isn't there a state that's the Nutmeg state?
Connecticut.
Darlene state.
How does it occur? Yes. Is it a tree? Is it something that grows on a tree, or is it a tuber?
No, it's
what is?
No, it's not a tuber. And neither is it sought by specially trained pigs in the hills of Italy.
Well, you've got your tubers and you've got your goobers, and I'm here to tell you that you can't spray Roundup on them.
What is a jello pudding pop? With nutmeg. And roofie.
But seriously, nutmeg is a tree, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a nut from a tree. Yeah. But hey, Robin, did you hear that Nutmeg, speaking of Nutmeg, our little Nutmeg, she's best friends with Kristen Sinema. Did you know that?
No.
Her and her husband, our Nutmeg's husband, they're all really good friends. They're very, very chummy. This would explain a lot of Kristen Sinema's problems. And America's
isn't a marshal like a British military figure?
Yeah, well, the Marshall Islands. No, U.S. general. Marshall Islands were named after Marshall, right, Robin?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that, it was an American general.
Isn't that a British military title, though, Marshall?
Yeah.
No, it's from Gunsmoke.
It's American, because I'm trying to think, because I'm trying to work
James
with Sandy for a second. I'm thinking, if it is, then I'm going to name the guy Roger, needs to be charged Marshall. You know, charge, Marshall, charge, insurrection.
There you go.
That sounds like something from Blazing Saddles. Don't you remember? They fought Indians. Fought Dix. You remember Dix?
Did everyone see the Weepy Cop today?
Oh, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, I did. I watched some of it, and, you know, after Kyle Rittenhouse, I didn't think anybody could cry more with less tears than him.
Brett Kavanaugh has, that's the bar, isn't it?
I don't know. I think Kyle Rittenhouse changed the game.
Well, maybe you're right. Boy, it'd be a good cry-off. That would be a hell of a
I pay attention to little nerdy things. And so I watched Officer Potter as she would reach for the Kleenex box, and she would dab at her face with it, but the Kleenex never got wet. It was all fake crying. And then, and when she started into her routine, I was like, okay, this is going to go on for a couple of minutes, and then they're going to take a break. So that the jury can sit there over lunch and say, well, she can't be guilty. Look at how she cried.
Hey, can anyone hear me?
I hear you.
Yes. No, I had my...
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Scott. I have two mute buttons, and I had the other one muted on the actual headset. I'm like, why are they ignoring me? Did I, like, do something? And it just occurred to me, like, oh, because I was on fucking mute. Did you see about the NFL games? Three of them, they postponed
yes.
Three of them. 23 people on the Browns have tested positive.
What happened to that rule about you were going to forfeit your game if you were unvaccinated?
Yeah, weren't you going to have to pay everybody else's salary or something?
Well, when Aaron, you know what? Fuck them. I also saw a story that Radio City Music Hall canceled the big. They have a big Christmas show.
Oh yeah, all four Rockettes shows were canceled today.
Oh, the Rockettes.
I actually had a Rockette went to my church. She was really, really nice. Really, really nice. I was going to say. The story, I read another story that Delta had an R sub zero of 6. This one they say could be higher, and I just happened to do a little brief calculation. When you have an R that's 6, if you think about one person gets infected, then 6 people get infected from that, which means out of that one person, there's a total of, including themselves, that's 7 infections. And when you start extrapolating that out, you're into the millions of infections within.
Yeah, that's why the UK numbers look like the UK numbers look like already.
Yeah, I was just looking at a graph, and the graph... It starts, you know, it's like anything that's exponential. It starts off really slow, then all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't take very long before it's basically got a slope. It has an infinite slope because it's going up almost like a straight line.
Isn't the new one, the Omicron?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that it's more?
No.
It spreads more quickly. But it's not kinder and gentler.
No, they're not. That was the initial thought, but that one Reuters article said that there's no evidence that it's any milder.
Well, the reason I ask is, for the anti-vaxxers, is this going to be a thrill or a kill for them? Because I'm fully vaccinated, and I'm due to get my booster on Sunday or Monday. I forget which. It's been 6 months on either Sunday or Monday since I got my second COVID dose. So I'm squared away. But those who have not availed themselves of any doses, how does it impact them?
Well, the White House said today, basically, if you are unvaccinated, winter is going to be sheer hell for you. And they use language very similar to that.
Hey, Robin, this is Gary in Illinois.
Yeah, hey, Gary.
Bunch of people around here, my friends, that refuse to get vaccinated. There's a funeral Tuesday morning, so.
Oh, Jesus. By the way, who's got the windy microphone besides me?
Oh, it's me. Sorry. Is that better?
Yes. Yeah. God, I'm sorry, Gary. I have a favor, but if this thing spreads like, you know, like it's expected, this is not going to, I mean, this is going to be, awful.
I hope that when they finally do more research on that, from that the thing in Reuters, that we've eventually find out that it's going to be not as bad. I mean, what I had heard originally in the UK was that the UK, their Dr. Fauci is named Dr. Chris Whitty, and what they've initially thought was that the infections will skyrocket, but what they think, and again, this we'll see if reality bears out in this way, or the article in Reuters is that while they thought that the infections would, well, they know they're going to skyrocket, but wave would actually subside more quickly for that reason. I don't know how we get out of this.
Well, but all the speculation is kind of like whistling past the graveyard.
Because you know what the real issue becomes, it may be milder, generally on average, but when you have so many more infections, even if it's even as a percentage, there are fewer people who get really sick. You have a smaller percentage of a much larger sample, which the real issue with this. Is that it crowds the hospitals, the emergency rooms, and then in addition to the people dying from COVID, it's the excess deaths from the people who need to go to the hospital on a periodic basis for whatever, you know, whether it's chemotherapy, whether it's dialysis and whatnot. Those people can't get to the hospital. I mean, this, I don't know. I'm supposed to go see my partner next Friday in Canada, and I have this bad feeling that Canada's going to... I mean, I hope not, because it's been 2 years. I just have this bad feeling, because they had a meeting, the Prime Minister with all of the different premiers apparently had a telephone call a few days ago where they discussed... They didn't do anything yet. They discussed reinstituting a travel ban from, you know, even from the U.S. They are encouraging people to not do any international travel, Canadians. And then not only that, but the State Department issued it upped the travel plans to reconsider your travel from its. There's that's the middle one, and they're saying people should not be reconsider traveling for this, and you know, it just it just leaves me speechless because, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to my partner about this. I mean, I get a lot of insight because his sister is an ER nurse. Actually, she's like the head ER nurse in Rio. So she talks a lot about what's going on in Brazil, and for instance, but she has a lot of like real medical knowledge about this. And I lost my fucking train of thought.
It's one of the symptoms.
Well, I would like to a couple of topics. By the way, Ron and Raleigh says, you can't avoid this shit. There was no pumpkin spice when I was growing up. Put it to rest, please.
Oh, no, this is what I wanted to say real quick. Leo, that's my partner. He just read recently, because we had a discussion about, you know, supplying, you know, Africa and, you know, certain parts of Asia, the poorer countries, to get vaccinations there. And he said there's actually – he read an article from the BBC that said there's a huge amount of vaccine hesitancy in those countries. And he said the reason is you have a lot of these American missionaries going over there and telling these fucking people that they shouldn't be they're basically promoting vaccine skepticism. And, you know, as again, as I always say, how many issues I have with my church, I will say this, is that most of that vaccine skepticism shit seems to be coming from the evangelical right.
Hell yes.
But it's
the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, I know that voice.
Yeah, but it's not so that's fomenting a lot of that. But they have that shit. I mean, the UK has, you know, I used to be of the opinion that we had almost had a monopoly on crazy, and we don't. Mm-mm, I mean, this
we don't.
I mean, there are just as many. Leo has a friend of his in Canada who won't get vaccinated, and you know, she always, and he is like, you know what? I like what Sam Cedar said. He says, I will be a fucking pincushion to get as many shots as I need. And his friend they talk about, and she'll say things like, you know, we're all guinea pigs. And the fact that they're requiring vaccinations is against her rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And what else that
Nuremberg.
It's all out of the QAnon. It's right out of the QAnon. He even said this. She said this. Oh, you've been – the CBC has brainwashed you, and CTV, which are – you know, those are news organizations in Canada, has brainwashed you. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. It's fucking – so when I hear – when people, you know, want to be particularly critical of us here – and again, everyone knows that I spend a lot of time listening to news in Canada for self-interested reasons, obviously. And I really started doing a lot of listening and reading in the UK and even Europe. And there's a significant parts of Germany that also have a serious, particularly southern Germany, as I recall. Because it's Saxony. I think that's more middle and western Germany, but kind of southwestern Germany. I believe that's where Saxony is. That there's huge anti-vax movements.
It goes beyond that. I saw a news report the other day, again, Saxony. But the dateline on the story was Berlin. Mm-hmm. Authorities in the eastern German city of Dresden said Wednesday that they had searched the homes and seized weapons belonging to vaccine opponents who they said planned to kill the Saxony state governor over his support for coronavirus measures.
Oh my God.
Five men and one woman between the ages of 32 and 64 are being investigated. The office in Dresden, the capital of Saxony, confirmed on Wednesday. The authorities said the group communicated their plans to kill the state governor, Michael Kretschmer, over the Telegram messenger service.
I was going to say, was it over Telegram?
Of course. A public broadcaster reported on the alleged plot last week. Among the weapons found, a gun, several crossbows. The suspects met on a group chat called Dresden Offline Networking, where they shared content critical of vaccinations and lockdown measures that German states have been using to try to stop the spread of the virus. Mr. Kretschmer has been backing strict rules, as Saxony has the lowest vaccination rate among German states and is among those with the most infections. Thousands of people in the state have... Thousands of people have set off on nightly walks to protest both restrictions and vaccinations in recent days, with demonstrations becoming more violent.
Robin, I would like... I'm putting this out to the entire family. Is this just somehow exposing the serious crazies we have in our country or in our world? Or have these always been there?
Yeah, they've always been there. Just like Terry said, they've always been there, and this is just bringing them out of the woodwork. It is putting paid to our little self delusions.
What is it about? You meant to, and I have half a mind. And what do you think about this, Robin? Half a mind to think this is finally Mother Nature going, okay, you know what? Y'all aren't taking care of this beautiful thing, this planet that you're living on. I need to get rid of a bunch of you.
Well, this is not the bug to do it.
Steve, I have a theory. It's not well formed, but it is a theory nonetheless, about the universal craziness on the planet. There is some percentage of people who march to the drumbeat of "I don't want to" and "you can't make me," and they are chaos freaks.
But they're also really willing to take away your freedom.
Oh, of course, mm-hmm. Of course.
By the way, I have a call coming in from my dad, so I'm going to step off for a bit.
All right, see you, Steve.
Come back. I know, Robin, you're a Marx Brothers fan, I think, or maybe.
Oh, yes,
he feels better. There's a Marx Brothers movie where Groucho is the president of a university, and there's a song in that movie, "Whatever It Is, I'm Against It." These are the chaos agents that I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
that's Duck Soup, I think.
Is it Duck Soup? I can't.
It might be Day at the Races.
But anyway, the point of it is there's a certain percentage of human beings on the planet who march to the beat of this drummer, "I don't want to, you can't make me." And their sole purpose in life is A, to believe stupid shit, and B, to pass it on to others under the guise of good information.
Well, but
for the rest of us.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And fuck it up for the rest of us.
Well, that strain's always been there. I mean, if you go back to, it's so instructive. You know, Richard Hofstadter, 1964, "The Paranoid Style in American Politics." I mean, Jesus, the John Birch Society gets started, and they get started on a campaign of, of all the people to pick, Dwight Eisenhower is a secret commie.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Robin.
Well, also, weren't they big on anti-fluoridation in the water supply?
Fluoride mandrake in little children's ice cream. Think of it.
No, I'm serious. Uh-huh. I think that was one of the.
It was. That's why that was so thoroughly parodied in Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, I got something.
I mean, when electricity first was wired to houses, there were housewives going around putting their fingers in the socket to make sure electricity wasn't flowing into the room.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, I got something new to share with you guys, something new that Trumpers have come up with now that I just don't know. You want to hear the latest?
I'm almost afraid.
So now Trumpers are going around saying that both China and Russia are teaming up and working on the next bioweapon to control the world.
Okay.
I'm like, what do you mean by that? He said, you do realize that COVID-19 is a bioweapon that was in...
anybody who says that needs to be so thoroughly slapped.
Whatever. So was the bubonic plague in the medieval ages.
I said, no, COVID's not a bioweapon. It's a disease that came from bats that got loose somehow, and it was an accident. And
well, it was an accident, but it was an accident on, and this is not me saying it's a bioweapon or it was created. No, it is a function of human encroachment upon nature, The way it becomes zoonotic is that it leaps. It makes the leap from bats to some other animal, and the reason it was able to make that leap is because that animal did not coexist with bats. So if it's a pangolin, like we were told early on, well, pangolins don't coexist with bats. But if you stack them one on top of each other in a wet market, guess what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's
like how did the bubonic plague, the Black Death, spread in the medieval ages? It's because the rats stayed on ships, got off ships in the various towns in Italy and whatnot, the various ports. And when the rats died, the fleas carrying the bubonic plague went to the nearest warming living animal, which was humans.
Ding.
Okay. Hey, the next time you talk to your friend, ask him if the Saturday Night Fever was also an engineered bioweapon.
Jesus. Let yourself out.
I think you're onto something there. The song from the movie "Staying Alive." There's a message in that.
And barely alive.
Play it backwards. It'll say Chinese. Yeah.
Oh, hey, just to make mention, because we're getting at least close to finishing Chris's challenge. There's $85 to go on that, and if we could at least knock that down, because December is turning into a potential fundraising disaster. But if we meet Chris's challenge, that with Ralph's and Billable Rick's, let's see, 20, that would get us down from $17.75 to $12.75. So that would be huge. Oh, and we have a correction. Randy Radar and Matt catching it at the same time. The Marx Brothers movie was Horse Feathers. Whatever it is, I'm against it, was in Horse Feathers. Thank you. Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Randy.
Huxley College.
That's kind of Mansion of West Virginia, right?
Yeah, well, that, yeah, sadly, without the unfunny version.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I did
want... Eddie Vodka, lime vodka with Fresca is awesome.
Yeah, isn't it just...
Oh God! Yes.
Yeah, it's magic.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very good. Very good. Thank you for that suggestion.
I didn't know that they still made Fresca.
Yes.
You know who is a big fan of Fresca? Would drink it like water.
Who?
Lyndon Johnson.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Fresca in one hand and a Beagle's ear in the other.
Yeah, there you go. Do you remember Wink?
Oh, that yes.
One from Canada Dry, a grape, I think it was grapefruit flavored.
Yes, Fresca, Wink, and Squirt.
Fresca is one of the best diet sodas, period.
You know,
what do they use to sweeten it, though? If it's aspartame, no thanks.
Yeah, it's aspartame.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, it's aspartame, yes.
Has anybody ever seen that HBO original movie called All the Way, the story about LBJ and the Civil Rights?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
I can't believe at one point in time our party, the Dixiecrats, were like today's Republican Party.
Yeah.
Very much so. Well, I mean, where do you think the modern Republican Party came from? Lyndon Johnson said when he signed the Civil Rights and the Voting Rights Act, we have lost the South for a generation. He was wrong.
Bingo.
They lost forever. Yeah, they lost the South for generations, and all those Dixiecrats. And this goes back to 1948. Strom Thurmond left the Democratic Party in 1948 over people of color being able to get in access to swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and then the Southern strategy of Nixon in 1968, coupled with the. With the campaign of George C. Wallace, and the race was on. And then when in August of 1980, having just received the Republican nomination for president, when Ronald Reagan went into Neshoba County, Mississippi, where three civil rights workers were murdered by the Klan and buried in an earthen dam, he went to that county fairgrounds and delivered his famous states' rights speech. Well, that was the birth of the so-called Reagan Democrats.
Pander much, you know?
Well, oh, it was pure pandering.
Yeah.
One of the lines that I remember from that movie that really stuck with me was LBJ said to Humphreys, "That's the problem with you damn liberals. You don't know how to fight." And I'm thinking, really? We don't know how to fight?
Well, it certainly seems that way. I mean, if Mitch McConnell was in power, you don't think he would do away with the damn filibuster like that today?
Oh, yeah, you would.
You know, we're so effing stupid. We are so effing stupid.
Can you imagine the howling that would go on with Republicans if we did what they did with the old Amy Coven Barrett? And got her in there in the last, 18 days?
Who gives a shit what they think anymore? Really? Who gives a shit what the Republican Party thinks or cares about anymore?
Nope.
They're not going to compromise. They're not going to do a damn thing to help govern this nation in a meaningful way.
Nope, they're not.
I'm sorry. They need to kill the filibuster. They need to, pass voting rights and many other things because we're running out of time.
Well, Robin's been asking this question for, maybe over a year. What's Joe Manchin's price? And what's Kristen Sinema's price? Do they have a price? We haven't found it yet.
And I'm almost to the point of saying there is no price. It is simply, at least in Joe Manchin's case, it is. And by the way, I've been shorting people on their fuck Joe Manchin. So here's a big collective, really, fuck Joe Manchin. For everybody who's jumped in on fundraising this evening.
Say it about 10 times.
Yeah, fuck Joe Manchin. Fuck Joe Manchin. How about you, Steve from Georgia Stan? Can you give me a fuck Joe Manchin?
Fuck Joe Manchin.
FJM.
Fuck Joe Manchin.
But it boils down to the political truth that no Manchin has ever done anything for anybody whose name wasn't Manchin.
Man, they're a blight. Jesus Christ.
It goes back into the 60s, when A. James Manchin spearheaded. Adage, I'm sorry, Terry?
His adage seems to be that we need to sock it to the poor working man as much as possible because they're not worth a shit. And if we don't, they're just going to sit on their ass and collect government benefits.
Yeah, I can kick y'all around because y'all like getting kicked around.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Terry, that picture where he was leering down on everybody in their rafts from his yacht, that spoke a thousand words right there of it in itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and drives around in his, Maserati? Yeah. Yeah, Joe, tell us about the low-class people in your district, in your state, and how you're helping these people. Really? In what way exactly?
Yeah, I think it's a snow white Porsche.
Store.
You know what Joe Manchin is? Joe Manchin is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
No, he's a wolf in wolf's clothing.
He didn't even pretend to wear sheep's clothing. He's just a fucking wolf.
I mean, that guy needs a fucking R in front of his name instead of a D.
Yeah, but there's no percentage in that for him. He would not get reelected in this state or in West Virginia as a Republican.
Why?
Because Republicans hate him too.
Oh. So it's nonpartisan hate?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but he gets reelected because the Republicans put people up against him that make him look like Bernie Sanders.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, the last time he ran for reelection, the Republicans nominated the guy who helped dump 4 million hydrocodones on one little town in southern West Virginia.
Oh, well, no. Somebody really didn't do their market research, did they?
Well, I mean, but that guy's attorney general.
Oh, well, you know, you got to get rewarded. So.
Yeah. So, you know, and so the Democratic Party of West Virginia is basically his personal cult of personality. And I would like to believe, and I mentioned this the other night on the air, Steve, you were listening. I'd like to believe he's getting bad information, but if you're getting bad information by people who are writing you checks, the bad information is going to be good information.
Are you talking about Wednesday's epic show? Man, you hit it out of the park that night, man.
Oh, well, thank you. Troy is a great conversationalist and really brilliant.
And he used to do research for TH, did you say? I know we don't like to
mention his name. Yeah, and produced him.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. You can tell that guy was on his game.
And he still works with him. He still works with him.
I suggest if anybody didn't catch Wednesday's show, check it. It's worth it.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, I did too. I did too. It's old school, progressive, hard hitting radio, man.
But trying to figure him out, and see, that's the thing. You get nowhere by telling him he's a dick. But
well,
you also
a very wealthy dick, and he doesn't give a shit.
But you also it also seems you get nowhere by being nice. So it's just kind of you get nowhere. And I mean, his fundamental lack of understanding of the history and purpose of the filibuster is breathtaking. I mean, he probably doesn't even understand that the Electoral College was born out of a desire to appease enslaving Southerners, you know, slaveholding Southerners, because it's just a fact.
Yeah.
What is his history? How long has he been in the Senate? Two terms? Three terms?
I think he went in 11. When Robert Byrd died, he jumped out there to take Robert Byrd's place in his unexpired term, and then has run for, I think, two of his own. So he'll be up in 24.
Was he appointed, or did he run for the vacant seat?
He ran. He resigned as governor, turned the office over to GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin.
He appointed himself?
No, he ran. There was a special election. He couldn't appoint himself.
Did anybody run against him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the Democratic side?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that's what always puzzles me about how many people are in West Virginia?
Well, I have a theory.
About 1.7 million.
Robin, reaffirm that's, this. I think a lot of folks on the right vote for him to keep the libs in check. You know, I say libs with quotation marks. Is that any truth to that?
There might be some truth to it. But he did not win going away in this last election. He had to fight.
Oh,
see, this is
baby.
What puzzles me. I didn't know there were that few people in West Virginia. I thought it was like 11, 10 million, 9 million, something like that.
What?
But people are not stupid.
You thought it was how many?
Well, I haven't
11
been to West
million?
Virginia. I haven't been to West Virginia for quite a few years.
We don't have that many haulers.
Well, there's that. But
hell, there's only 4 million in Alabama.
However many people there are in Virginia, in West Virginia, of voting age.
Hold on.
When it comes right down to it, there's a good number of good people who are not stupid.
Good people. Define good people.
Well, wait a minute. No, I'm talking about people like Robin in West Virginia.
Thank you.
And, oh, and other people in West Virginia who...
Okay, Robin's trans, by the way, which so is a very far, small minority.
As far back as you could look in your history in West Virginia, the people...
Scott, 1.792 million. 1.792.
Right. Okay, but listen.
Sorry to interrupt.
As far back as you can look in the state of West Virginia, from the coal interests and whoever were the interests before the coal people, the everyday folks have gotten screwed. They could write a new edition of the Kama Sutra, all the positions in which they've been screwed over the years by moneyed interests. That. Okay.
Well, but you hold on, Scott, because that comes with a caveat.
Okay.
Because when the UMWA finally came in and coal was still a going concern, standards of living went up somewhat, and people had and people were proud union members, and they voted that way. See, with a couple of exceptions. That's why in 2000, when Charlton Heston came to the Beckley National Guard Armory and held his gun up and said, hey, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold dead fingers, you damn dirty ape.
He said that down here in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, I have, yeah. Well, see, that turned the tide, and very few people know, and it's worth mentioning again, if West Virginia had merely voted as West Virginia predictably did in the 2000 election, Florida's stupid electoral votes wouldn't have mattered. Our five little crummy electoral votes would have put Al Gore over the top. And that's why...
history would have been so damn...
different. Yeah. Oh.
Well, all I'm saying is people, whether they're in West Virginia or Indiana or any of the states of the union, sooner or later, when it comes down to it, everybody who's got a few brain cells to bang together knows when they're getting fucked over.
Do they?
I believe they don't seem to
because of all their Trump supporters don't realize they're being fucked over in any shape, form, or fashion.
Or they're happy to be fucked over because they actually care about issues. This is the intersection of that business of us saying things like, and it's not helpful, they vote against their own best interests. It's not necessary.
They're their own damn throat, you know.
Yeah, but it's not necessary. It's not necessarily true. You know, they really are worried about the precious little fetuses.
Yeah, really. So what?
And they really do harbor this existential dread that some liberals going to come and get their guns.
Now, see, here's the problem, though.
Yeah, they worry about the fetuses until they're born.
Right.
I guess
once they're born,
it's their right.
Then
heads
hands off. Don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And you babies need to fucking get a job.
It's their right to believe stuff, even though it isn't necessarily based in reality. But certainly there's got to be people. See, part of the problem is people don't show up every time there's a chance to vote. I have never, ever missed a chance to vote.
Well, I can give you an idea of what a primary looks like around here or around there. I keep forgetting I'm not home. I have seen primaries where the total voter turnout was 36% in a county.
God.
Okay, and so when total voter turnout is 36% in a closely contested election, that means that 19% of the registered voters in that county have chosen the occupant of the given office in a general, I didn't mean to say primary, I meant to say general. But, you know, these tiny minorities, and it's not democracy, and it's like pulling teeth to get the vote out.
Because people don't give a shit. They don't think their vote counts. They don't think their vote will matter. Everything continues as is, no matter how they vote.
And, hey, Terry, just to let you know, you see,
A baby's supposed to come out and take the umbilical cord and learn how to tie it up into a bootstrap.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And then pull itself up by it. Right, precisely.
Hands off. It's at that point, okay, we got you born. It's your responsibility to take it from there. And we're going to fuck you every step of the way.
And its first drink should be liberal tears.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, the fetus is born. Now let's fuck the single mother over because, oh, my God, you are just a whore. You need to learn how to close your legs. We're not here to support your illegitimate child, so on and so forth and whatnot.
Well, all I'm
that seems to be the attitude of the GOP, the so-called loving Christian, loving thy
pro-family,
thyself, the good Samaritan, which doesn't fucking exist in the modern age.
I guess I come by my relentless optimism honestly, but it was like I was saying with Robin the other day when I called on Wednesday. There's a place in California just north of here called Orange County, and there are no Republicans in the U.S. Congress from Orange County.
Damn good county. I like that.
And people, it was like the bellwether place for crazies, right-wing crazies. And no one 20 years ago would ever have dreamt, even on the best acid you can get, that there would come a time when there would not be Republican House members in the U.S. Congress coming from Orange County. But yet here we are.
You might say,
well, that's just California. No, I think people will be, you can live up to your expectations, but you can also live down to them. And I think people basically got tired of getting screwed. It's like, I ought to patent that phrase, a new edition of Kama Sutra, the ways that the common folk get screwed in this country. How many positions? God, I can barely walk.
Yes, too many to number, too many to number. It's like Elon Musk being upset.
Oh, you mean Time's Person of the Year? Oh, Jesus.
That he needed to pay taxes.
Yeah. Thank you, Bernadette.
Really? How do you fucking get upset that when you're a, I forget what they call him, a centa billionaire, then he's like $100 billion wealthy plus?
No, that's called TFR.
You know?
Too fucking rich.
Too fucking rich. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, Robin, we are on the same wavelength here.
Really? Really? It's like, when is the last time you paid taxes, you fucking shit?
I got a question for you guys. Did anybody
Can we send him to space with a one-way ticket? Can we do that?
Hey, I got a quick question for everyone. Did anybody watch Meet the Press last Sunday?
No.
I find Joke-Toad difficult to abide.
With that royal piece of shit. Who doesn't even measure up to shine the shoes of Russet?
Well, I just happened to...
Russet sucked balls, too.
Yeah, well, I just happened to go on there, and there was this guy on there. I can't remember his name now. But he was saying that there's going to be another January 6th, and this time there is 20 to 30 million Trumpers organizing for it. And they said this guy was saying that the last one was just a test run. This one's going to be for real. And
that's why I've been saying for a year that this was a dress rehearsal.
I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know Robin was on Meet the Press.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do it again. Yeah.
Of course, they're all watching these people get convictions, and they're all watching them get jail time.
Slaps on the wrist.
And that puts a big chill.
Yeah, one dude finally got 5 years today. One of the insurrectionists got 5 years.
5 years. That's still 5 years in a fucking prison.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a huge wake-up call when you think it was just a fucking lark or walk in the park of going to the Capitol and breaking in and you being white and privileged all the hell and back and you're getting your ass sent to jail. That's a big wake-up call to these people when they thought they were invulnerable.
Well, they're white. Of course they are.
And the Buffalo Snowflake thought he was going to get a pardon.
Buffalo Snowflake. Does that come with blue cheese?
They'll pay for their legal fees, and that fucking didn't happen.
Exactly.
You know, when the rubber hits the road kind of shit.
Donnie said he was going to go with him, remember?
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, how anybody believes a damn thing that comes out of his mouth is beyond me. He's never paid his bills. He's never been loyal to anybody except himself. And all that matters to him is himself, and that is it. Has always been and always will be.
Yeah, and did you hear today the latest about his lawyers? Seven of his attorneys that's either representing him right now or defending him in the past is suing him because he still hasn't paid them.
Yeah, because he's a big surprise. Bills. He doesn't pay anybody. That has been his SOP his whole life.
And you know what his response was?
To the nth degree, to obfuscate, delay, and throw it forward so he doesn't have to do a damn.
Yeah, and you know what his response was? He said, well, you didn't get me off the charges, so I don't have to pay you.
And the GOP just put up $1 million for his defense fund.
Oh, some of the incarcerated maggots from January 6th, the ones in the D.C., they've raised something over $2 million claiming to be political prisoners.
On a GetFundMe? Or how have they got $2 million?
Any number of avenues. By the way, Matt in San Francisco says, Joe Manchin will be responsible when the fascists take over in 2022. I mean, I sometimes think that we need billboards that just all over the country, just with his picture on the most despised man in America. Because I, honest to God, think that polling data would probably support that proposition. I mean, we talk about, you know, the things in Build Back Better that would benefit working people. Well, hell, the numbers are pretty solid in West Virginia that people want it, and he's just Senator No. And it's kind of mind-boggling unless you understand the fundamental rule that Manchins don't do anything for people not named Manchin. It's that simple. Hold up. I got to send out thank yous thank you so kindly to Bernadette. Bernadette just took us down to $75 to go to meet Chris's challenge. Please. There's about 33 minutes left in the program. I know we can't take down the whole fundraising hole, but if we could just please finish Chris's challenge, $75, 7.5 people at $10, 10 people at $7.50, whatever it takes, because we've got a lot of it's go time, it's getting ready to leave time and everything, and that's gonna be financially intensive. So,
Jesus.
75. Yeah, 75 is where we stand, and you know we've got a little tin of Prees trees here, and I tell you what, it helps. Thank you, Bernadette, for that too. Because it, whatever you put it on, it helps. So thank you, Bernadette, and you know. I want to go back for just a minute in the time we have remaining to talk about the trial going on in Minneapolis right now with former Officer Potter. They put her on, she showed up on the stand today. Of course, you know, she's former Officer Potter, so she can't wear her police blues to make her to give her even more credibility with the jury. But one of the things that struck me Steve, if you're still there, you might want to, or Bill, I don't know if Billable Rick's around, but one of the more interesting aspects of this is that there are really no facts in dispute. You know, you go to trial when you got facts in dispute. You know, the car was blue, no, the car was red. The light was red, no, the light was green, whatever. There's no really, it's all on video. There's no dispute. She shot him dead. And, you know, the charge is manslaughter. And it strikes me that the only reason this trial is taking place is everybody knows she's guilty. But what they're going for, and it is a legitimate legal, well, not legitimate, but it is a legal strategy. when you've got a case that you think you can get before a jury, and even though you have, and even though the law is against your client and the facts are against your client, that you will convince the jury to engage in what is called jury nullification. She is guilty, dead to rights. No ifs, ands, or buts. But that's why they put her on the stand today, to let her dry cry and elicit some jury sympathy and send them off to the to lunch to talk about how sorry they feel for her, and hopefully get her to engage, or get the jury to engage in jury nullification. Well, yeah, she's guilty, but she had a lot of time on the force. I know, wrong accent. But she had a lot of time on the force. And, well, I mean, look at her up there suffering. She's done testified about how all her family was in law enforcement, and God love them, she's got family that's in the military. And, you know, it'd just break their hearts if she was supposed, if she was to have to go to prison for 10 or 15 years. And it's kind of, it was kind of disgusting to behold. But, you know, pettifogging defense lawyers know that as well or better than I do. And they probably got a jury there that they think that they can motivate to literally overlook the law and the facts and just give her a walk. That's why they put her in. She showed up to testify looking like she dressed out of Walmart. Little twin set with a floral print yellow blouse with a little coordinating solid yellow cardigan over it. You know, she just looks like a mom. She just looks like another one of the Minnesota nice moms. And so don't be surprised if the jury gives her a pass. Kind of the way the jury gave Kyle Rittenhouse a pass. It's disgusting.
Well, did she get a practice like Rittenhouse did, you know, but they had like two practice trials, one where he got on and cried and one where he didn't take the stand or something? Or
this was a situation where she kind of had to take the stand. Mm-hmm. But they knew that they would get her, and I think I just invented a term, dry crying.
Yeah.
Because she was grabbing them tissues, and none of them are coming away wet.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
I know you're going to hate me for saying this, and probably everybody else will, because I've kind of realized something. I'm kind of the weirdo, horn contrarian, or at least it seems that way. I don't frankly have any problem with them doing that. I mean, you're a defense lawyer. Your job is not to get to the truth.
Oh, yeah, you're not talking about the jury. You're talking about pettifogger is going to pettifog. That's their job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if somebody hired me, well, I don't do criminal work after my client threatened to put a bullet from a .357 in my head. I don't have a problem with them doing shit like this because, you know, as a defense lawyer, your job is not to get to the truth. Your job is to
get your client off.
Get your client off. You know, within the ethical rules, etc.
Now they cannot directly argue for jury nullification. That will get you in deep shit. You can't tell the jury, okay, the judge has given you the law, and you've got the facts. Ignore the law. You can't. The counsel cannot do that. But there are buzzwords you can use, and you can shape the defense in such a way that they come away wanting to do it without having been told what it was.
I got it. I mean, I agree with you, but. You know, and I've had discussions with friends of mine who will say things to me like, "Well, what if you knew that a person was going to, it was a rapist, and you knew they were going to do it again, and blah 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 blah." And I always say, the state is the one with the resources here. They have the cops. They have everything. It's their burden to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
And right, but if you're doing criminal defense, you know, and that's one thing that lay people often will say, you know, how could you ever defend a rapist if you knew they was guilty? Well, rule one is you don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't.
Because law, you know, if you're defense counsel, you don't just sit in, okay, name, address, date of birth. Did you do it?
Or not?
Did you do it? No, you don't ask that.
And frankly, a lot of times, I know this sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I would almost be less likely to believe it if a person said to me, "Darn tootin', I did it," because that almost sounds like bragging. And I mean, the person, you know, if a person's bragging about a rape, they're clearly a sociopath. But again, you know, if the person says they did it, well, depending on the state, in New Jersey, if a person commits a crime or does a bad act and you think they're going to do it again, you actually have an ethical obligation to either, I don't remember if it's to withdraw or disclose it. In New York, there is no ethical obligation to disclose or withdraw. It's essentially, if it's kind of the lawyer's get out of jail free card if the lawyer wants to withdraw.
Well, yeah, and the same thing, if that should happen to come up where your client insists on going to trial and you do for some reason, because you're apparently a really terrible lawyer, know that they're guilty, and they start lying on the stand, you have an ethical obligation to go, Your Honor, could we approach?
Yep.
Your Honor, I'd like to withdraw as counsel in this case. And at that point in time, the judge and opposing counsel both know exactly why you've done what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do know that you're not allowed to put a person on the stand if you know they're going to lie.
Exactly.
But, and as a corollary to what you're saying, if a person insists on testifying, at that point, you have an obligation to say, look, I need to withdraw. You know, the person insists on testifying, I need to withdraw. And then, of course, the judge and the prosecutor will know exactly why you're withdrawing.
Yeah, but there's a caveat to this, because on the prosecution side, it doesn't quite apply the same way, because there is not a prosecutor on earth who does not know the fundamental truth that defense lawyers know too. Cops lie.
Yeah.
What the hell you say?
And so anytime you put a cop on the stand, there's going to at least be some embroidery going on.
Yep.
And I am not a cop lover. I have a mask that actually says abolish the police. And I don't have a problem wearing it. No one said anything to me.
Well, if, you know, there's some more of that critical race theory. If you actually look at the history of policing in the United States, you know why it was created.
Yeah, remember you had this. You actually said this one time, and I completely agree with you. And you know, not to pat myself on the back, but this is one of those times where I actually had this question. We seriously need to ask. And I'm going to shut up because Rick has his hand up. We seriously need to ask the question: what do the cops do? And when I say that to people, I'm not being facetious. I don't know what they do, and I certainly don't know what they're supposed to do. And I yield the floor to the gentleman from the great state of California, Mr. Stack.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
Mr. Billable.
How y'all doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Your challenge got met, so thank you very kindly, Billable.
Yeah, it got met really quickly. Jeez. You know, I had 5 weights per day. I didn't even play pool on Wednesday because my son was just absolutely petrified that would catch the Omicron, you know.
Smart young man he is.
Yeah, yeah, he was freaked out. So we marched ourselves into the pharmacy at Vons, and it's run by Quest Diagnostics. That was, at least that was the entity that administered shots for the Vons pharmacy. So yeah, it was nice to get that, and I don't have to worry about, you know, a booster at least, and you know, gives me some protection from this Omicron. I was listening offline for a little bit, or actually, you know, on a delay basis, and I heard Scotty talking about Orange County politics, and I must disabuse him of one of the things he said. Unfortunately,
hey, wait a minute, that'll make you go blind. Don't be abusing anything there. The nuns taught me years ago.
So he heard from a friend.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to make you take horse paste. Don't worry about it, Scott.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
But what you said was true in the 2018 election cycle. I think there's like five congressional districts that Orange County is split into. Okay, it's, you know, I don't know how it's that many, but it does have five different districts. And for the first time, I think maybe ever since the Great Depression, there was, you know, all of the Democrats beat the Republican opponents in that election cycle. And so there were no longer any Republican House members from Orange County. However, that did change in 2020, unfortunately. Michelle Steele, who is a MAGAT member of the Board of Supervisors, Orange County, who was a member of the Board of Supervisors, narrowly defeated first-term incumbent Harley Ruda for a seat. So I think it's now like 4-1 Democrats over GOP. And she only won, I think, by probably no more than probably 5,000 or fewer votes. It was a very close election. She was all in favor of not having any mandates and, you know, things like that for COVID, and just a true MAGAT, you know, an Asian American as well. I think he's from maybe Vietnamese ancestry, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just kind of
I'm a little behind then, because I knew it was true at one time that there were no.
It was true for 2 years. It was
well,
true
good. We're on the right 20. Track then.
Or maybe 2019 to 2021, because the Congress convenes like what in January of the year following the election. So
yeah.
Anyhow, how's anything new and exciting with anybody here?
Hey, Rick, I made it back alive.
I know you did, Chris. We had a good time, I tell you, you know?
Certainly did, man. I'm sorry, missed the karaoke. Yeah. Next time.
Yeah, it was a very good first half of the Bears. And then,
cool. Yeah.
And then I thought they got robbed of two touchdowns that could have made it very close at the end. You know, I was not aware that you cannot advance an onside kick. That is a stupid rule. That needs to be changed, you know?
Rules because committee has got a lot of work to do, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a return for a touchdown, you know.
No, but you can't. You can't. It's basically an open scrum.
Yeah, it's an open scrum. But I mean, but the receiving team, however, can run it back. You know, can run it their way for a touchdown. I've seen that happen when the kicking team muffs a not really muffs, but doesn't properly defend an onside kick. And lets the other team run it back all the way. So if one team can run it back all the way, then why can't the team that's kicking run it back if it's touched by, you know, an opponent, or if it's recovered after 10 yards without being touched by somebody? I think maybe the rule is if the opponent touches it, then they can run it back. It's sort of like a fumble then. I'm not really sure.
I don't get it. Is Bella's piggy still squeaking?
I don't know. I don't know after these rains, man. I mean, the piggy probably has water in it and it won't squeak.
Is that what the problem is? It seems like it stops squeaking.
Yeah, you guys have no idea what we're talking about. We'll fill you in.
They don't.
Hey, Rick, I actually think that rule makes perfect sense.
Really? Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because the kicking team
can recover whether or not the receiving team even ever touches the ball as long as it goes 10 yards.
True.
So they may
yeah, it's kind of got an infield fly rule flavor to it.
Yeah. It's like, look, all you're trying to do is kick it 10 yards so you can get it. Yeah, Robin, I think that's as close to an analogy as I think.
Because theoretically, if you could advance it, you could pooch it up in the air, have one of the kicking team catch it, and then advance it. Yeah.
Well, you know what's wrong with that?
everything I know about football would halfway fill a thimble. All I know is my favorite thing about football is piling on, because that just seems like there's adventures to be had.
Well, I've got to say thank you to our dear friend Christopher. Christopher just knocked us down by got us down to $60 to go on Chris's challenge. $60 to go to double everybody's money. So thank you, so very much, Christopher. Christopher with a note said, on the road. Indeed. And just because COVID-iot news is so much fun, our buddy John in Central PA just sent this along to me. Video of a man being removed from a flight in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Once again, a story of Florida man. He got booted off a United Airlines flight. Because he was protesting, I think somebody may have issues. He was protesting the mask mandate because it don't make no sense. You know how he was protesting? By wearing a pair of bright red women's panties.
Yeah, it was a thong.
As a face mask.
Oh, jeez.
I think somebody needs to go to therapy.
I think his issues are I'm not a shrink and I don't play one on the radio, but I think his issues are way deeper.
Yeah, live your best life, sweetie.
No, he doesn't have issues. That guy's got subscriptions, okay?
Wait a minute, that's cowbell.
That's a virtual cowbell. A double cowbell.
Earlier, somebody mentioned edible panties.
Yeah, that was me.
And they actually, have you ever had a fruit roll-up? They are consistency, texture, and well, I don't know about flavor because I've never eaten any, but as I understand it, they are not unlike fruit roll-ups.
As we now enter the food porn portion of the program.
Well, I don't know if this is food porn or the gutter. Maybe food porn in the gutter.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's
I'm just hey, listen.
It's just porn. It's not food porn. It's just.
I live to fill in the blanks. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Gandhi, we know you know about you. Know about that from personal experience.
No, I must have read it somewhere. Rick, I read an awful lot, and you pick up these things along the way.
There you go. Hey, can I talk about the piggy story real quick? It's a device that I use to Inga says, hi, Inga. It's a device that I use to try to get my dog to drop the Frisbee so I can throw it to her, because she sometimes play tug of war with it since she's a puppy. It's all kind of a game. So I basically stomp on Piggy, it squeaks, and I say, okay, Piggy says, give Daddy the Frisbee. Or I say, okay, I hit Piggy and I say, okay, Piggy wants Frisbee. And probably 8 times 10 she comes and just drops it right at the foot of the Piggy. It's the cutest thing. And aww. I can throw it. Yeah, so. Is that Annette?
No, that's somebody walking by outside. It gets a little loud around here once in a while.
Okay. So your departure date is the 20th or 21st?
Well, that's kind of TBD, but our last day, the last day of the lease is the 22nd, so I'm beginning to think I would like to get home sooner than we had initially talked about. So I don't know; it could be Sunday or Monday.
Well, you should flip Sunday to give you a little advance time to get to Florence. That's just one day, right? You'll be in Florence by the following day?
Oh, no. Florence is 2 hours away, so.
Okay. Well, hell, you'll be there, you know, time.
Yeah.
Are you leaving this Sunday, Robin?
Well, like I said, TBD, but, you know, sometime between Sunday and Tuesday.
To be determined. Okay. Yeah, I would. I'm hopeful you have a Christmas Eve port show. That would be nice if you could pull that off.
It would be, but there's a possibility. We'll be there's a possibility we may be on the road.
Mm, okay. Well, we'll have Brother Deacon Asa set up a link so we can all congregate here, all us lonely people that have nothing to do on Christmas Eve.
All the lonely people.
What about what about Thursday, the 23rd?
I'm hoping to get program. That's one of the reasons for thinking about leaving on Sunday, because that would give me time to do a program Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday. And then
old pal Mike Murphy from KCMO in Kansas City used to do his broadcast the night before Christmas. So maybe you could do it that way.
Yeah. And I'm hoping Terry and I get together one last time before I blow on out of Alabama, because she's coming up home too. And I'd like to see her one more time.
Now she's down on the Gulf Shores though, isn't she? Isn't
yeah, she's down close to the coast. Yeah.
You'd have to drive quite a way south to get there, or not?
Oh, well, no, I mean, we both come from the same hometown.
Oh, okay.
And she's coming up to see family, and we're hoping to get together.
Florence is your hometown then, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's in the, what the hell you call that part of?
The Shoals.
Shoals, yeah, Muscle Shoals, yeah.
Yeah, the Shoals area is the northwest corner of the state. It's about as far as you can be from where Terry lives now, so, and still be in Alabama.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that your recovery is going well. It's got to be a hell of a thing to go through, and nobody would volunteer to do that just like.
Yeah, this is not something you do for a good time.
Not like a fad. It's not like adopting a pet rock or anything like that.
No. It's not, or taking up macrame. No. and I mean, that things are going well. It's just that the particular mechanics or physiology, I should say, of sitting is
ouch.
It's going to be an adventure for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Well. And while I was at the dock on Wednesday, he was poking around and just making sure everything was okay. And, well, I think he irritated something, and it just hurts worse than a skint knee. Let's put it that way.
So he irritated the nerves. And the demons are back, tormenting you.
Oh, the little satanic gremlins with the voltage meters have never really gone away.
Oh, jeez.
And they'll be around for a while.
Yeah, well, that's a sign that the nerves are regenerating. So from a certain standpoint, that's good that you're having that thing.
Oh yeah, no, it's a good sign. It's just, woo, you know.
Yeah. Right. No kidding. Jeez. Can only imagine.
But it'll just be so nice to be back at home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no place like home, for sure, you know.
So, you know, there's all of that. And I have great news. Thank you very kindly, so very kindly indeed, to Herbert. Thank you, Herbert. We are finished with Chris's challenge. So, Billable Rick, with yours, that's so we got down to we're down to $1,250, and then another, we're down to $1,210 to go to finish fundraising. But we, that means we finished
all of last Thursday, and about $100 of last Friday. So thank you, Herbert, and thanks to everybody who responded to Chris's challenge. It's so, so very kind and so much appreciated. And by the way, I wanted to mention this because I saw our buddy Ron in the far frozen north was posting a little bit about COVID up there, and he says that even though the positivity rate is about a tenth of what it is in the hot areas of the U.S., Ontario and Quebec have taken the first steps to go back into lockdown because the number of cases across Canada has risen by 45% over the past week. So to the extent that Stephen New York was waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, this may be the shoe. All indoor spaces are once again limited to no more than 50% capacity, with proof of double vaccination required before entry. The vaccination requirement does not apply to grocery stores, liquor stores, and other essential stores like Home Depot and Lowe's, go figure. But then notes that Alberta, our version of Florida, Texas, is going the other direction. The premier announced that there are now no limits on the number of people who can get together indoors over Christmas with no restrictions on vaccination status. That province already has a terrible hospitalization and death rate, and the latest step towards freedom will undoubtedly put more of them at risk. So, when shit gets bad in Canada, we'll know why.
Adam, thank you.
Well, then I just pushed through another $11.33 because I can't make it too easy to make the totals.
Oh, Jesus. So, $12.50, $12.40, $12.39, $12.38.66. And now it's $12.18.66, thanks to our dear sister Jude.
Nothing like a bunch of Manitoba maggots running all about.
Well, no, these would be Alberta.
Oh, okay. Alberta, sorry.
And thank you, Jeremy. And I don't know where Terry went. One minute she was there, the next minute she wasn't. Maybe she had a call or something. But we made it through the program, and now comes the time where it's time to pack up the rig. It's kind of wild. We were under a lot of pressure when we got down here. We only got into this apartment late in the afternoon of November the 8th, and my surgery was on the 9th. And when we came in, we brought in all our bags, and the first thing I did, because I knew I wouldn't be lifting anything when I was done when I came back from surgery, first thing I did was set up the rig, and it has remained set up for a month and a half, and now it's time to tear it all down and box it up and get ready to start packing. So I want to thank each and every one of you. I hope I will be on the air Monday evening. But thanks, everybody. Thanks so very much. Hopefully, like I said, we get on the road and I handle the driving without a lot of problem. And we'll find out how well I'm going to deal with highway driving. But thank you, everybody. And by the way, if John Brudevaux pops by, tell him I said hi. And thanks all of you, each and every one of you, who with your PayPal and Patreon subscriptions help keep this little effort at independent and liberal progressive broadcasting on the air. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Let me switch mics here.
A little less noisy. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa informs me, Scott, that there are pumpkin spice Cheerios. Damn it. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask them, please, to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. Thank you for all of your outreach on behalf of the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Omicron's nothing to screw with. Take every precaution and double down and be super mindful of everything. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Use it liberally. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes burbling towards you saying, well, I don't need to spend 5 years in prison for the insurrection. We was led astray is what we was doing. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.